السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد خاتم النبيين، وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، قد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المؤمنون هينون لينون كالجمل الآنف، إن قيل انقاد وإن أنيخ على صخرة استناخ. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدنيا حلوة خضرة، وإن الله مستخلفكم فيها فينظر كيف تعملون، فاتقوا الدنيا. وكما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، رب زدني علما، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما ينفعنا، آمين يا رب العالمين. الحمد لله. My dear respected brothers, elders, friends, youngsters, it's a great special occasion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us this ability to present ourselves in the masjid for the salat of Eid. We need to understand what is Eid. Eid is something which is a gift, a treat, a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we all know very well that a person can either deserve a treat, a reward, a gift, or a person cannot deserve a gift or a treat or a reward. Now, the scholars have mentioned that there are three Eids that the Muslims have been given. Three Eids. The first Eid, which comes every single week, is the Eid which falls on a Friday. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that yawmul jumu'ati yawmu Eidin. The day of Jumu'ah is a day of Eid. So this is a Eid which Allah ta'ala gives us recurringly every Friday. And that's why on Friday we are expected to wear our nice clean clothes. We are expected to do our miswak, apply perfume, look presentable, and go to the masjid and present ourselves very early. Because the day of Jumu'ah is a day of Eid. And we find in the lives of the Sahaba that there were, in one narration, in the Sahih hadith it is mentioned, a Sahabi he said, we used to look forward to the day of Jumu'ah because after the Jum'ah Salah, we would all go to the house of this particular lady in Medina, this Sahabiya in Medina, and she would prepare food for us and we'd all eat there. Because this is one reason why we used to look forward to the day of Jum'ah, because it was just a nice day that we'd all get together. So the Sahaba would treat the day of Jum'ah like the day of Eid. And mashallah, we've seen in many Muslim countries around the world, the day of Eid is a holiday. Like here we have the weekend, which is the holiday, which is the day where work is closed and a person is at home. Over there, Friday is the holiday. So you know it's Friday because people are not working, you know, people are at home, and a weekend people are working. So the day of Jum'ah is a day of Eid, and it's the recurring Eid, the one that comes falls every single week. So a person should understand this and appreciate this, and a person should understand or realize, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us Eids? When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Makkah to Medina, he saw this: the people of Medina were celebrating 2 days of happiness, merriment, enjoyment. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them, you know, why they were celebrating on these 2 days. So they mentioned that these are 2 days that we have been celebrating for a very long time, and there's no reason to it. We just get together, enjoy ourselves, have fun. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replaced these 2 days with the two Eids. And like I mentioned, the two Eids are a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah ta'ala has strategically placed these two Eids at the end of two very important times in the year, or two very important periods in the year. The first is the period which is the month of Ramadan. And the month of Ramadan is the month of mercy, the great month. And it is such a special month. And in that month, a person is freed from the fire of Jahannam. In this month, a person can be guaranteed entry into Jannah. And so many other special blessings and mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend in this month of Ramadan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects from His servants that in the month of Ramadan they will try very, very hard to please Him. Every single Muslim man and woman will fast and they will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will try their level best to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to acquire His pleasure. So as a reward, as a treat, at the end of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with an Eid. That my servants, you worked very, very hard. You tried your best to please me. You've gone out of your way, sleepless nights you've had to tolerate, you've had to bear. Standing late at night in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Qiyamul Layl prayer, in Taraweeh prayer, in Tahajjud prayer. So as a reward, I give you this Eid, Eid al-Fitr. And the second Eid falls at the end of the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. These 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are so blessed in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so blessed, so virtuous. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a hadith, مَا مِن يَوْمٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهَا أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مِنْ عَشْرِ ذِلْحِجَّةِ. There is no day in the entire year in which actions are more beloved to Allah Ta'ala than in these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Ulama have mentioned including Ramadan. They say, they balance this hadith with all the virtues of Ramadan, all the ahadith which discuss or mention the virtues of Ramadan, by saying the nights of Ramadan are more special than the days of Dhul-Hijjah. However, the days of Dhul-Hijjah, the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, are more special than the days of Ramadan, some ulama have mentioned. So such a special time which has now left us. These are the last 10 days which we had. This mic is too quiet, eh? How do you put sound? So this very, very special occasion and this very special period has now left us, the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So as a reward for those people, for the Muslims who work very hard in these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, they stay away from sin, they stay away from disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they try their best to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. And then comes the day of Arafah, the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. Subhanallah, probably one of the greatest days in the year. We don't understand the greatness of the day of Arafah. So many ahadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the virtues of the day of Arafah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive more people in any day in the year more than He forgives people on the day of Arafah. Allah ta'ala just forgives people and forgives people and forgives people. But remember this caveat, this condition. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives people on these special days in which the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descending upon the people, one group of people who are exempt from the forgiveness of Allah, one category of people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive, and He makes this very clear, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes it very clear in many, many ahadith. One group of people, or a person who Allah Ta'ala does not forgive on these special days, is Mushahin. Mushahin. The hadith has been mentioned, many different ahadith have been mentioned. Some ahadith has been mentioned that two people, Mushahin is a person who has malice, who has hatred, who has anger in his heart for another fellow Muslim. If you are angry with another Muslim, if you do not talk to another Muslim, if you have hatred, if you have malice in your heart towards another Muslim, jealousy, any of these evil, evil feelings, if these are in your heart towards any Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive such a person on this day. So that's why it's very important that we keep our hearts clean. Hamare dil saaf ho. It's very important. I'm going to speak only in English actually. So it's very important that we keep our hearts clean. So on the days when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy descends immensely, then on that day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also forgives me as well, and I have a chance of being forgiven on that day. So my dear respected brothers and elders, and my youngsters, I was mentioning that these Eids that Allah ta'ala gives us, three Eids in the year, the two main Eids that we have, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, and then we have the Eid which is recurring, which is the day of Jumu'ah. All of these Eids which Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with are a reward and a treat for those people who try their best to worship Allah Ta'ala and to please Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And that's why Imam Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali Rahmatullahi Alayhi mentions that لَيْسَ الْعِيدُ لِمَنْ لَبِسَ الْجَدِيدِ. Eid is not for the person who just wears new clothes. ليس العيد لمن لبس الجديد ولكن العيد لمن طاعته تزيد. However, Eid is for that person whose good deeds have increased, whose pious actions have increased. This person deserves Eid. However, someone who is just wearing new clothes, applying fragrance, buying new shoes, driving around in a nice car, this is nothing. This is just, we're just pleasing ourselves. We're just making the most of the moment. However, this means nothing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not care about our clothes. My brothers, my youngsters, those of us who go out on the day of Eid and purchase very expensive clothes. And mashallah, we need to buy the shalwar and the kameez, and we need to buy the waistcoat, and we need to buy this and that, and we need to get our haircut the night before. And it can't be your regular haircut, it has to be a very specific one for the day of Eid. Allah Ta'ala does not need any of this. And that's why in the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala does not even look towards your apparent features. And Allah Ta'ala does not even glance towards the wealth that you may have, towards your money. However, Allah Ta'ala looks at your hearts, and Allah Ta'ala looks at your actions. These are the only things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned about. Because Allah has created every single one of His servants differently in terms of facial appearance. Doesn't matter how much you try to beautify your facial appearance, you can never go beyond the threshold of who you are anyway. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has blessed us with money. So for me to go and spend £50, £100, £200, it's money that Allah has given me. There's nothing special about it. But when I go and I perform good a'mal and good actions to please Allah, then this is me proving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala why I deserve Jannah, why I deserve the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at. My dear friends and elders, it's very, very important. You know, the pious people on the day of Eid, they'd be so sad and regretful. You know, we're happy and we should be happy. It's a day of Eid and celebration. But they'd be very regretful because they understood that Eid is a reward. And they would ask themselves this question, that do I deserve this reward? So that's why it's very important that on this day of Eid, we enjoy ourselves, but we use it as a period of reflection as well. We use it as a period of reflection. The Jum'ah, which is the day of Eid, is given to us because every single week, rather every single day, a Muslim should be striving hard to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember always, Allah Ta'ala is our Malik, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Khaliq. Allah Ta'ala has created us, Allah Ta'ala looks after us, Allah Ta'ala watches us. Any action that we do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of it. وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. Every single human being, every single creature on the surface of the earth, Allah Ta'ala is the one who feeds it. Allah Ta'ala is the one who looks after it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see our actions. And that's why in the famous hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayhima, it mentions that when a child is still in the womb of the mother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands an angel to go after the child is in the womb of the mother for 120 days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands an angel to go and write four things: rizquhu wa ajaluhu wa amaluhu wa shaqiyun aw sa'id. To write that person's rizq, sustenance, how much money they will ever earn, what clothes they will ever wear, how much food they will ever eat. Every single detail is written whilst we are still in the wombs of our mothers, before we are even born. And then ajaluhu, your life. Everybody wants to live a nice long life and die in their old age. But how long we are going to live in this dunya, it's written for us when we are still in the wombs of in the bellies of our mothers. And the third thing is, وَحَمَلُهُ. Every good deed or every bad deed that a person will ever do is written whilst they are still in the belly of their mother. وَشَقِيٌّ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ. And finally, at the end of their journey, which they call life, the destination that they will get to, whether it is Jannah, شَقِيٌّ, whether it is Jahannam, شَقِيٌّ, the badbakht, the wretched person, meaning the one who will end up in Jahannam, وَسَعِيدٌ, the one who will be, like they say in Urdu, khushhalo, this fortunate person who will end up in Jannah. All of these things are written whilst the person is still in the womb of the mother. And that's why the Sahaba would remember this hadith, and they would be so worried that I have no idea where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for me to go. Where is it, Jannah? Is it Jahannam? I have no idea. So all a person can do is work very, very hard. So another famous hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in Sahih Muslim and other places, that قلوب العباد بين إصبعين من أصابع الرحمن. that the hearts of the servants of Allah are between the two fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُقَلِّبُهَا كَيْفَ يَشَاءَ Allah ta'ala can change the heart as He wishes. Meaning Allah ta'ala gives me iman today, Allah ta'ala can take my iman away from me. If Allah ta'ala, a person is not a Muslim today, by nightfall Allah ta'ala can give them iman. So we should never be haughty, arrogant, proud. We should never think that I'm a Muslim so I'm better than other people. And we should never look down on other people who are not Muslim. Because it's Allah's choice when Allah ta'ala will grant them iman. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give a person hidayat, guidance. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do this dua continuously. That ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Oh, the turner of the hearts. Allah Ta'ala is the turner of the hearts. He can turn a person's heart anyway. Look at us, our lives we have lived. Those who have lived 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. We know how many different phases of life we've gone through. There are days when we don't feel like doing anything. There are days when we feel motivated. There are days when we feel sad and depressed. Sometimes we can't even explain the reason why we feel sad and depressed and upset. We can't even explain the reason. Someone says, why are you so down today? I don't know, it's just a low day. I have no idea. So moods, minds, you know, emotions. Sometimes a person is motivated to worship Allah Ta'ala. Sometimes there's no motivation. So the turner of the hearts is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala controls the hearts. Like the hadith mentions, hearts are between the two fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He changes them as He wishes. So it's very, very important that we continue to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We continue to remain humble. And we do not become arrogant and haughty. The Sahaba would remember this hadith. And I'll just finish off here because we're going to start. Are we waiting for Jahangir bhai? Are we waiting for more people to come on? 9 o'clock, so. Oh, quarter past nine, that's fine. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum would remember this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they would do dua. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu is mentioned about him. They'd always be fearful. The Sahaba would be fearful. You know, we as Muslims, we don't read our Fajr Salah, we don't read our Zuhar Salah, we don't read our Asr Salah, we don't read our Maghrib, we don't read our Isha. I just mentioned the whole list. We don't read Namaz. Majority Muslims do not read Salah. They come to the Masjid if they're lucky on Jumu'ah day and Eid day, mashallah, we all show up. However, we don't even read our 5 times obligations Allah Ta'ala has placed on my shoulder, but somehow I'm satisfied that I will go to Jannah. Who gave me this guarantee? Who wrote me this decree that you are going to Jannah, my friend? You don't have to worry about anything. Don't read any salah whenever you feel like it. And you can drag yourself to the masjid. If your shaitan and your nafs give you a day off, then on these days come to the masjid and you're going to Jannah. Who gave us this guarantee? But we have no consideration for salah. We have no consideration from staying away from sin. We have some people who present themselves in the masjid for salah, but then their tongues do not stop talking bad about people. From their zuban, from their tongues, continuous sin is coming, continuous sin. Every time they talk, they speak bad things. They talk bad about someone, they're criticizing someone, something or the other. That's why people talk about politics, this and that. I say, just don't talk about anything. Talk about something which will benefit you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith, that speak good. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ Someone who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the day of Qiyamah either should speak good or just remain quiet. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala used to mention that ما ندمت على السكوت أبدا ولكن ندمت على الكلام مرارا. I was never regretful or upset at the fact that I stayed quiet. But I regretted my speech many times. Why did I talk? Why did I have to say something? Why didn't I just stay quiet? So Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu is saying this. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would grip his tongue and he would say, you have destroyed me. And that's why in the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that al-wahdatu khayrun min jalisi su. It's better for a person to stay alone than to stay with bad friends. And bad friends don't have to come with, I don't know, dressed in a certain way or look a certain way. A bad friend is someone who distracts you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A bad friend is someone with, if you sit with them, you fall into sin straight away. Or you know you are going to fall into sin. We have people who are Muslims, 5 times musallis. We have people, sisters at home reading their salah, reciting their Quran. But you sit with them, all you will hear is ghibat, 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 ghibat. He's like this, she's like this, he's a this, she's a this. I don't like him, I don't like her, I don't like this. Criticizing food, criticizing everything. You know this bad habit that we have of criticizing food. This food is like this, these people don't know how to cook, they don't know how to cook, I'm never going to this place ever again. All of this, these are the important things to us in life. Criticizing food is from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if he liked, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sahaba mentioned, that he would never ever talk about food. He would never criticize it, neither would he praise it. He would never overly criticize something, nor would he praise it. The only time he would praise something is if there was actual benefit to our health in that food. Like he talked about dates, and he talked about honey, and he talked about the black seed, and all of these different things Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, because these things have health benefits for us. Otherwise he wouldn't sit there and say, oh, you know, this burger from this place, not as good as the burger from that place. This doner kebab I've eaten here today, it's the worst doner kebab I've eaten in my entire life. You know, this is so important to us, to discuss food. Rasulullah would never criticize food, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would never overly praise food. If he liked something, he would eat it. If he did not like it, he would leave it. And that's why the sahaba, sometimes a dish would be presented, and the famous hadith of the dhab, this particular desert lizard that was presented in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, cooked, and it was presented. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not eat it. So one sahabi, Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu, was sitting there, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, are we allowed to eat it? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, you may. He goes, it's just that I've never had a preference for it, because different people have different cuisines, different cultures. So Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu, he ate it, and the other sahaba, they ate it. Meaning Rasulullah would never talk about food. What's this thing here? This is disgusting. This person does. In Ramadan, my dear brothers, in Ramadan, I had to receive email from the sisters in the locality saying that, look, our entire day we are spending stressing about how the iftar is going to turn out. And she says, I've got a father-in-law, I've got this person, husband and others who come to the masjid. They're going to come home, they're going to sit down on the dastarkhan for Maghrib iftar time. And these people are so disgraceful that they say things like this. You're wasting my food. I bought this meat, you know, you're wasting my money. Why did I buy this meat from the shop if you're going to cook it like this? Why did I buy this from the shop if you're going to cook it like this? This is disgusting. We should be ashamed of ourselves. The sister is saying to me, she says, this was in Ramadan, the entire day I should be stressing about how much dhikr of Allah I have done, how much recitation of the Quran I've completed, how much extra sadaqah and charity I've given. I'm just stressed about how the food is going to turn out at iftar time. So look at what we're doing, because our mind is just on food. Our mind is on food. The pious predecessors, they wouldn't even look at the food, they'd eat anything. Look at the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm not saying eat anything. Don't misunderstand my point. I'm not saying eat anything. I'm just saying we need to relax a bit about food. Food is the most important thing to me. My food has to be like this and like that and like this. We don't need all of this. We just want it. This is our shahwat and our shaitan, and we don't even understand. So my dear brothers, I was going to the point of that hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, when a person is, child is still in the womb of the mother, at that moment in time, four major things are written down. And this hadith would scare the sahaba, it would frighten the sahaba. Firstly, like I mentioned, your rizq, everything you will ever earn. So my brother who is a billionaire, my brother who's a billionaire, millionaire, and my brother who's making, I don't know, 300, 400, 500 pound a week, everybody is in the same category. Allah Ta'ala wrote for us how much rizq and how much sustenance we will ever acquire. And sustenance includes money, it includes food, it includes drink, it includes clothes, it includes house, it includes every necessity of our life. And then our actions were written down. Our lifespan was written down, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. When the time comes, we will go. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, إذا جاء أجلهم لا يستأخرون ساعة ولا يستخدمون. When the fixed time of death comes, not even a second will it be brought forward. Not even a second will it be delayed. It's fixed, it's not like Asian timing. Doctor says come at 8 o'clock, we turn up at 9 o'clock. Someone says come for dawah at 5 o'clock, we turn up at 7 o'clock. This is not the way death works. When Allah Ta'ala gives you death, if you were supposed to die at specifically the age of 30 years old, you will not die a second later. You will die at 30, you will go. People will cry, people will, you know, wail. But you are gone now, and you need to meet Allah Ta'ala with whatever you have done. So we need to ask ourselves the question, am I happy to meet Allah Ta'ala if death was written for me today, or tomorrow, or next week? Am I ready? When someone finds out they have cancer or some terminal illness, then a person prepares, you know, you see this, subhanallah, he's become all of a sudden different person, giving everything in charity, and, you know, always in the masjid, because they know they're on their way out. Most of us will never be that fortunate to get a knock knock on our door that it's almost time for you to go. You're next in line.
We're not going to get this. Death will just come and take us. And when it takes us, then we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our a'mal, whatever we've done. Remember the Sahaba, I was going to this hadith, because in this hadith, this hadith would frighten the Sahaba. One Sahabi, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, he would actually do this dua to Allah, and this dua is so, subhanAllah, it makes me think that a Sahabi has so much fear. The Sahaba were guaranteed Jannah, my friends. The Sahaba were guaranteed Jannah. We're not guaranteed Jannah. We are nobody. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to enter into Jannah or Jahannam? We have no idea. We did not stay with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have not even done a few good deeds that we can be proud of in our life. Rather, every time we think, we probably think about the bad things that we've done. The Sahaba wa Sahaba radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah is happy with them and they are happy with Allah ta'ala. However, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu would do this dua and he would cry. He would say, Allahumma in kunta katabtani fi ilmika shaqiyan famhuni waktubni sa'idan. Oh my Allah, if you have written my name down in the book of the unfortunate, wretched people who will go to Jahannam, then oh my Allah, please wipe my name out and write it in the book of the fortunate people who will go to Jannah. Sahaba had so much fear. One tabi'i he mentions is narrated in Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, has brought this in his sahih, in his book of hadith. A tabi'i he mentions, a tabi'i is someone who saw a sahabi, who sat with a sahabi. He says, I have met 30 sahaba in my life, or more than 30 sahaba. Every single one of them used to fear that they were a munafiq, a hypocrite. They had so much fear about themselves that will I die on iman? I have no idea what my ending will be like. So I don't want to make the talk too long. So my dear brothers, my dear friends, mashallah, the masjid is full, so I just feel like sharing a message to all of us. So this is the reason I mention all of this. The day of Eid is a day of happiness, celebration. I don't want to take this away, but at the same time, like I mentioned, it should be a day of reflection. Have I actually deserved this Eid? Have I actually earned this Eid? So this is why we need to make an intention now, that oh my Allah, the remaining portion of my life which I have left, I have no idea, like I mentioned, the remaining portion of my life which I have left, I'm going to use it to please you. I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to live my day like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived his day. I'm going to go to sleep at night the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go to sleep at night. Because the way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah mentions in the Quran, "Qul in kuntum tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah." All those who claim to love Allah, every Muslim says, "I love Allah." All you who claim to love Allah, ittabi'uni, follow me, meaning follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah will love you. This is the way to Allah Ta'ala's happiness. This is the way to Allah Ta'ala's love. So a person needs to replicate the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to make an intention now. We need to attend our 5-time salah in the masjid. We cannot be lazy about salah, my brothers. We're reading Eid salah now, and the Zuhar salah is going to come up. We need to ask ourselves the question, am I going to be there in the masjid? Or have I made the niyat now, ke main namaz masjid mein nahi padhunga Zuhar ki? I'm not going to read Zuhar in the masjid. Have I made this niyat now? Or have I got the firm intention? Inshallah, I'll be here for Zuhar. I'll be here for Asr. I'll be here for Maghrib. I'll be here for Isha. And I'll try my level best to be here for Fajr as well. This should be the niyyah, the intention of a Muslim. Our problem is we don't even have the intention. We're not even there yet. We don't even care. We're not even bothered. So this, we need to change this. And we need to reform ourselves and make ourselves better. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and all the understanding. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Remember, this is the takbir of tashriq. Takbir of tashriq, we should be on the day of Eid. And we remember Eid al-Adha is 3 days today, tomorrow and the day after. We should be continuously reading this takbir of tashriq. And it's sunnah to read it audibly on the day of Eid, to read it loudly on the day of Eid al-Adha. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. And also remember, after each salah we have to read this takbir once as well. After each salah that we perform, fard salah, we have to read this takbir once, recite this takbir once. If we're reading it with the imam, most likely after salah, we will hear everybody reciting it, so we recite it. If we're reading it by ourselves for the males, even after we finish the fard salah, we still have to recite it loudly once. For the females at home, they must still recite it, but recite it quietly. So this is the takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Takbir wa tashriq. Okay, so inshallah we'll do the Eid Salah. Just before we do the Eid Salah, just to remind ourselves of the rules of Eid Salah. There are 6 additional takbirs of Eid Salah. 3 takbirs in the first one, and 3 takbir in the first rakat, and 3 takbirs in the second rakat. In the first rakat, we will do the first takbir, Allahu Akbar. We will tie our hands, we will recite Thana quietly. So Allahu Akbar, tie our hands, recite Thana quietly. And then after that, the Imam will do 3 takbirs. After that, he'll do 3 takbirs. So in the first takbir, we lift our hands, we drop them. Second takbir, lift our hands, we drop them. On the third takbir, we lift our hands, we tie them. And then the Imam will recite Suratul Fatiha and Surah. And then we go into Ruku, Sajda. And when we stand up from Ruku, Sajda, Imam will again recite Surah, Fatiha, Surah. And then before he goes into Ruku, he will do 3 takbirs. So in those 3 takbirs, we just lift our hands and we drop them. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And then on the fourth one, we go into Ruku, inshallah. And after Eid Salah, we have the khutbah. Remember, the khutbah is also wajib to listen to. So please don't go anywhere. As soon as Eid Salah finishes, the Imam Sahib will stand here and the khutbah will take place. Is that okay, inshallah? Anything else to mention? Okay, inshallah. Please straighten the rows for Eid Salah. Safadurus Kalijiga. Please ensure our mobile phones are switched off. All gaps should be filled. If there's any gaps, please don't leave these big gaps amongst ourselves. All empty gaps should be filled up. Jazakallah. Any spaces in front of you, just move forward. This is the easy way to fill up the gaps. Just let me know from behind when we're ready, inshallah. Okay, inshallah, we'll start the Eid Salah. As I mentioned, the 6 extra takbirs. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى.
الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Allah. Allahumma anta as-salam wa as-salam tabaraka ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma rabbana atina fi dunya hasanah wa fil akhirati hasanah wa qina adhab an-nar. Sallallahu sallam ala an-nabiy al-karim wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Inshallah, everyone remain seated while we do the khutbah of Eid Salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Al-Mun'im, Al-Muhsin, Al-Dayyan, Dhil Fadli, Wal-Judi, Wal-Ihsan, Dhil Karami, Wal-Maghfirati, Wal-Imtinan. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي أرسل حين شاع الكفر في البلدان صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ما لمع القمران وتعاقب الملوان الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد أما بعد فاعلموا أن يومكم هذا يوم عيد لله عليكم فيه عوائد الإحسان ورجاء نيل الدرجات والعفو والغفران الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فإذا كان يوم عيدهم باها بهم ملائكته فقال يا ملائكتي ما جزاء أجير وفى عمله قالوا ربنا جزاؤه أن يوفى أجره قال ملائكتي عبيدي وإمائي قضوا فريضتي عليهم ثم خرجوا يعجون إلى الدعاء وعزتي وجلالي وكرمي وعلوي وارتفاع مكاني لأجيبنهم فيقول ارجعوا قد غفرت لكم وبدلت سيئاتكم حسنات قال فيرجعون مغفورا لهم الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد وقال الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأقضاهم علي وأعلمهم بالحلال والحرام معاذ بن جبل وأقرأهم لكتاب الله أبي بن كعب ألا وإن لكل أمة أمينا وأمين هذه الأمة أبو عبيدة بن الجراح الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم اللهم أيد الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام وأهله في كل مكان يا رب العالمين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العلي العظيم يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
Eid Mubarak to everyone. تقبل الله منا ومنكم صالح الأعمال.